He went on to the next one. More equipment. He was about 40 metres inside the tunnel now, 10 metres shy of the right-angle turn which led into the larger, segmented gallery where the living accommodation of the base lay. The mouth of the tunnel was a white hole when he turned back to face it. He set the tight beam on wide aperture. "Nothing yet. I'm about to look into the accommodation section. Bleep, but don't reply otherwise." The helmet speakers bleeped. Before going round the corner, he detached the suit's remote sensor from the side of the helmet and edged its small lens round the corner of sculpted rock. On an internal screen, he saw the short length of tunnel, the flyer lying on the ground, and a few metres beyond it, the wall of plastic planking which filled the tunnel and showed where the human accommodation section of the changer base began. By the side of the small flyer lay four bodies. There was no movement. Hawser felt his throat closing up. He swallowed hard, then put the remote sensor back on the side of the helmet. He walked along the floor of fused rock to the bodies. Two were dressed in light, unarmored suits. They were both men, and he didn't recognize them. One of them had been lasered, the suit flash-burned open, so that the melted metals and plastics had mingled with the guts and flesh inside. The hole was half a meter in diameter. The other suited man had no head. His arms were stuck out stiffly in front of him, as though to embrace something. There was another man, dressed in light, loose clothes. His skull had been smashed in from behind, and at least one arm was broken. He lay on his side, as frozen and dead as the other two. Hawser was aware that he knew the man's name, but he couldn't think of it just then. Kirachel must have been asleep. Her slim body was lying straight inside a blue nightgown. Her eyes were closed, her face peaceful. Her neck had been broken. Hawser looked down at her for a while, then took one of his gloves off and bent down. There was frost on her eyelashes. He was aware of the wrist seal inside the suit, gripping his forearm tightly, and of the thin cold air his hand was exposed to. Her skin was hard. Her hair was still soft, and he let it run through his fingers. It was more red than he remembered, but that might just have been the effect of the helmet visor as it intensified the poor light of the darkened tunnel. Perhaps he should take his helmet off too, to see her better, and use the helmet lights. He shook his head, turning away. He opened the door to the accommodation section, carefully, after listening for any noise coming through the wall. In the open vaulted area, where the changers had kept their outdoor clothes and suits and some smaller pieces of equipment, there was little to show that the place had been taken over. Further through the accommodation unit, he found traces of a fight. Dried blood, laser burns in the control room, where the base's systems were monitored. There had been an explosion. It looked like a small grenade had gone off under the control panel. That accounted for the lack of heating and the emergency light. It looked as though somebody had been trying to repair the damage, judging by some tools, spare pieces of equipment and wiring lying around. In a couple of the cabins, he found traces of Edirian occupation. The rooms had been stripped bare. Religious symbols were burned onto the walls. In another room, the floor had been covered with some sort of soft, deep covering like dry gelatin. There were six long indentations in the material, and the room smelled of Medjel. In Kirachel's room, only the bed was untidy. It had changed little otherwise. He left it and went to the far end of the accommodation unit, where another wall of plastic boards marked the beginning of the tunnels. He opened the door cautiously. A dead Medjel lay just outside, its long body seemingly pointing the way down the tunnel to the waiting shafts. Hawser looked at it for a while, monitored its body for a moment, dead, still, frozen, then prodded it, and finally shot it once through the head, just to be sure. It was in Standard Fleet Ground Force uniform, and had been wounded some time ago, badly. It looked like it had suffered from frostbite earlier too, before it had died of its wounds and frozen. It was a male, grizzled, its green-brown skin leathery with age, its long muzzle face and small, delicate-looking hands deeply lined. He looked down the dark tunnel. Smooth, fused floor, smooth, arched walls, the tunnel went on into the mountainside. Blast doors made ribs along the tunnel sides, their tracks and slots carved across the floor and roof. He could see the elevator shaft doors and the boarding point for the service tube capsules. He walked along, past the sets of ancient blast doors, until he came to the access shafts. The elevators were all at the bottom. The transit tube was locked shut. No power seemed to be running through any of the systems. He turned and walked back to the accommodation section, through it and past the bodies and the flyer without giving them a glance, and eventually out into the open air.